Erkey today.
The NAACP condemns formally the Tea Party for racism. While the Senate gets ready to vote on financial reform on Thursday, thanks to a little help from some Republicans. In the meantime, Uganda squarely on everybody's radar now. The FBI says the attacks signal a terror group potential. We're going to talk with Jeff Atticott coming up a little bit later this hour. You'll want to pay attention. He's an expert in terrorism, and he has a lot to say about Al-Shabaab and how it, where it might be a much bigger threat than just in Somalia, and also what's going on with Guantanamo as well, and Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four others, and where they might be tried, and some of those decisions that have been made recently by the administration when it comes to terrorism. But first, let's start with this one. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. There's a lot of different directions we could go in, but this is pretty big, I think. Obama tapped a former budget chief for a pretty big position when it comes to dollars and cents. And, of course, what's happening across the nation now, the panic over money and over job security and what the future is going to hold and what's going to happen with health care reform kicks in. So at this point, this is pretty big. The president announced his nominee to replace the Office of Management and Budget Director, the current guy, Orsag, Peter Orsag, and it's going to be Jack Lew or Jacob Lew. He filled the same spot for which he's now being tapped by the president from 98 to 2001. Currently, he's in the political game. He's the Deputy Secretary of State for Management and Resources, and he's an advisor to Secretary Hillary Clinton. Why do you care about this? You care about this because of what's going on with our deficit. And taking that deficit and turning it into a surplus would be a miracle, wouldn't it? And that's something that Jack Lew had experience with when he worked in the Clinton presidency. But we are bleeding so badly. We are spending so much. I would say good luck, Jack. And when it comes to the economy, I mentioned this, the whole financial reform, because it's about the blame game, and the blame squarely was on what happened with mortgages. Not enough going to Fannie and Freddie and some other things, I think, that are being slid under the rug. But the outcry of the American people for the banks and banks too big to fail, I think, is what led to this financial reform. Only some of what's included in financial reform, I believe, will actually hurt the middle class. But now the ducks are lined up and they're in a row and they're ready to say yes. So the Senate will probably vote on the biggest piece of legislation since the Great Depression on Thursday, because three Republicans now say they're going to support the bill. Here's what the president had to say.
This reform is good for families, it's good for businesses, it's good for the entire economy. And I urge the Senate to act quickly so that I can sign it into law next week. Three Republican senators have put politics and partisanship aside to support this reform.
All right, so it's all done but the crying or dancing, depending on how you look at it. Conservative Democratic Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska says he's going to vote for the bill, which would be the 60, because already you had Olympia Snow and Scott Brown who agreed that they were going to vote for it too. Obama says it's good for families, it's good for business, and this is going to be a change of where we're headed. You know, this bill was 2,300 pages. It's funny because we probably killed a few forests for that one. And the bill is supposed to address regulatory weaknesses, which is what we blame for the 2008 collapse, if you remember, in the fall. that led to all the problems, to our worst recession since the Great Depression. So at this point, let's just say what I've been able to look at, because it's a lot to go through. What I've been able to see is it reminds me too much of the health care bill, that there are other things that are stuck in there that you just don't realize, and things that are not addressed. And hey, you know what the biggest thing is? If you want to talk about horrible financial institutions and massive corruption, why wasn't Freddie or Fannie at all addressed in the bill? They were certainly a big part of the financial collapse, and yet that they're not even part of this whatsoever. So to me, I think that's one of the biggest blunders of the whole thing. And ultimately, if you remember, and I said this on a previous show, the TARP money that was supposed to bail out all those toxic assets, remember, now that money is going to be used to pay for our money, taxpayer money, to pay for banks that are too big to fail. So we're getting it in all directions. I mean, we really are. So is this a bill that addresses the evil financial institutions and all the corruptions? Well, the answer is, with Freddie and Fannie not in there, no. It was just cherry picking as to who was going to be put in it. In the end, it's going to cost consumers more in fees because it's going to be passed on to all of us. So start to look at your statements, and if you do everything online, look at those and see how much is going to get sucked out for different things. So this new regulatory legislation that's supposed to protect Main Street, I don't think will do any such thing. There may be one or two parts of the bill that are helpful, but overall, it's much ado about nothing. I would love to get on here and say, oh, no, this is it. This is bipartisanship, and this is great, and whatever. But it's the American people who are going to have to pay for it. So it's all of us. It's the middle class that lose. And we're spending more money we don't have, that TARP money, because that TARP money could have been used in a much different direction. I'll sit on the sidelines and see. That's what I'll do. I'll see if I'm wrong. And trust me, if I'm wrong, I will eat crow. But when you have the unemployment rate where it is, it's really over 10%, but officially 9.7%. And when you look at what's going on in Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama with the drilling moratorium on deep water drilling, which is killing even more jobs while this spill goes on until it's completely capped. And then you look at the stimulus plan that bombed. Am I not surprised that this is being touted as a wonderful, fabulous piece of legislation that I cannot see in what I've been able to look at anything that really truly is going to help support anyone other than green corporations? Because they'll get some of the kickbacks on the small business end of it. And then if you get cap and trade going, which would add more money to our energy costs, and that would really help those green corporations, they're probably the winners all the way around in all this stuff. All right, hang with us. We've got many more things to talk about, including the fact that Al-Qaeda has launched a website, a new English language website, to try to recruit people from the West to their organization for open source jihad. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. It is becoming painfully obvious the Washington bailout is running out of steam and the economy is showing signs of a double dip recession. As you know, government spending is at an all-time high and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are majority of your assets tied up in the stock or bond market? If so, are those assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain, having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be you worthless, and it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronchnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108, and I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter Kronchnabel at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Protect your freedoms and be independent by learning how to maintain, repair, and customize your own firearms through these exclusive video training courses on DVD from the American Gunsmithing Institute. Call and get a free 2-hour sampler DVD video and catalog. See just how quickly and easily you can learn firearm disassembly and reassembly, accurizing, customizing, super tuning, refinishing, trigger repair, and much, much more for rifles, pistols, and shotguns. Courses available for both the hobbyist and the professional. You can even get certified as a gunsmith to make money part-time, full-time, or as a retirement income doing what you love. Call 1-800-247-5032 to order your free sampler DVD and catalog. That's 1-800-247-5032. Call now and get a bonus $10 saving coupon. 1-800-247-5032 or go to AmericanGunsmithDVD.com. Learn how. Learn now with AmericanGunsmithDVD.com, your source for how-to gunsmithing videos.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
We're going to motor through, so hang on tight. It's going to be like a roller coaster, including this, making a bomb in the kitchen, any kitchen in the U.S., is oh so easy. The Al-Qaeda affiliate based in Yemen has launched a new English language website that features statements from Osama bin Laden, ooh, and a host of characters of bad guys that we all know. The radical American-born imam who's been linked to numerous U.S. terror plots like Fort Hood and Abdullah Muttalib, the Christmas Day bomber who almost brought down a plane. And so what the website does is it gives instructions on how to make a homemade bomb. And then there's a thing called Inspire Magazine. It's aimed at people in the West. It's published by Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and it includes articles like what I just said, how to make a bomb in the kitchen of your mama. And then they've got the AQ Chef. It gives you step-by-step directions on how jihadists can make bombs from ingredients available in any place in the world. And then there's all kinds of past statements by bin Laden and al-Zawahiri and all kinds of other folks that we know, like what's going on in certain issues, whether it's climate change or whatever. In fact, one of the quotes says that bin Laden is saying that the earth is getting warmer because al-Qaeda has opened the gates of hell, all that kind of fun stuff. And unfortunately, I was watching something where it was exposed. It was probably ABC or one of the networks. Some investigative reporter had dug it up, and there were advice columns on what to expect in jihad. And a part one, to pack light on the road and don't become frustrated by language barriers and make friends and all this other kind of bulletin board material. Wow. So crazy. And you think of these homegrown terrorists and, you know, it's just insanity. It's unbelievable to me. Even if people are frustrated, don't agree, think our government is crap, we understand the frustrations, but how do you drink from the fountain of freedom and become so tied up in jihadism and become radicalized that you're willing to do something to innocent people in the United States or elsewhere or whatever? I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't understand how you fall down that rabbit hole. And listen, for al-Qaeda, of course, what a perfect thing. They're saying, hey, the idiots in the United States, let's recruit them. They're unhappy, they're miserable, so let's give them the information and maybe we'll get lucky. And more will decide they want to join the cause. They want to be a part of this. So here we go again, is all I can say. It certainly is already being used as a tool that effectively is turning some of the minds of some of the idiots here that for some reason think it'd be glamorous to blow themselves up and be a traitor, really, to this country. All right, speaking of bombs, you know, bombs can be disguised in almost anything, as we know. The obvious things when we're talking about terrorism, leaving backpacks or briefcases or whatever on trains, in a plane, underneath the plane, a million different ways we've seen bombs go off. But how about this deal about a chocolate bomb? Listen to this.
If their name is misspelled, they should be suspicious of that. If a package is left on your doorstep from someone you're not expecting, you should be suspicious of that.
All right, and there they're talking about a chocolate bomb that, of course, the person receiving the bomb had no clue what it was, and that was the idea, to disguise it as much as possible. And the advice there was, you heard, if things are misspelled, if something's left on the door, whatever, and that was Robert Elder, by the way, you might be a little bit suspicious about what it is that you're actually opening. And I don't know. I think people are careless about the mail. I think people, you're running around, you're not thinking about it. If somebody wanted to leave some suspicious package for you and mark it incorrectly, I bet a lot of people wouldn't even necessarily pay attention to that, sadly. So I guess it's just a wake-up call. You don't want to be one of the victims of something like that chocolate bomb. You don't want to find yourself in that situation. All right, quickly, a couple of other things to hit on that I mentioned. And again, coming up, Jeff Atticott to talk about what happened in Uganda and what's going on with this latest crazy Somalia group, Al-Shabaab, that's been around for a while, and how they're now venturing out of Somalia and how dangerous, you know, they ultimately might be. We mentioned already financial reform, and that takes place on Thursday. We also know that in the wings is this BP test still hasn't really been measured, and the oil is flowing freely. But we were closer to that August date with the relief wells. There was nothing new on the day other than cleanup efforts and waiting for this test to actually take place and see if successfully it can withstand the pressure, and maybe it's a temporary solution anyway. But there were a few other things that came out during the day. Sadly, this one about illegals raping a Texas girl at a July 4th party. And, you know, that will certainly incite a lot of people, and it's terrible, the details on it. I read a couple different accounts of it to get a better sense of what happened, and apparently the two guys that were in the country illegally were from Honduras, and they were at a 4th of July party. The teenager was found ultimately sitting naked in a bathtub, and the victim told the cops she went to a party with her cousin about 40 miles outside of Boston. She was left in a room with the 19-year-old guy and a 22-year-old guy. They were from Honduras. They were both in the country illegally. They made some advances at her, and she said no, pushed them away, whatever. Then they raped her. So they found her in that tub. They brought her home, and the two guys luckily didn't flee because they didn't realize what was going on. They were arrested, and they faced felony charges of aggravated sexual assault, and they're investigating more. The Texas Rangers are on what's happened here, and because they don't speak any English or very little English, a handful of words, and they're looking for witnesses for the party, at the party to be able to say what they saw. They've had to use translators to try to figure out what happened at this party and why they were there and who they knew and all that other kind of stuff. And like I said, that certainly will just ignite already some tense situations in Texas, but particularly in that Horseshoe area, that Horseshoe Bay. I think it's called Horseshoe Bay area, and it's not too far outside of Austin. All right, I'm going to rifle through two quick comments here. One is from Dan, who's listening to us in Connecticut. He says, hey, Kate, keep up the good work. I thought the mystery sound thing was funny from a couple of hours ago. I happened to catch that. I had no idea what that sound is, and I guarantee that very few people listening did. Your caller was really, really funny. You know your next one has to be a layup. All right, and this one is from Bobby B. Bobby B. says, man, ban the burqa. Let's do it in the United States. Do you think anybody would have the big ones to propose that ever in our lifetime? It's not really fair to the women here either, is it, Kate? In our PC culture, that would never happen, especially when you're talking about religious freedom. So there's no way there would be a movement to ban the burqa. However, in the courtrooms, the idea of whether or not to wear the burqa, that could be an interesting challenge, because there are a lot of lawyers that are very frustrated with that when that becomes part of the process of talking to witnesses. Hang with us. Jeff Atticott coming around the bend.
What started as an idea to provide power for a small hunting cabin has grown into a passion for creating an alternative energy source that's both affordable and reliable. At Wind Blue Power, our goal is to provide you with the best selection of parts and accessories to power your own ideas. Whether you're building a wind generator from scratch or you prefer a complete bolt-together kit, we've got you covered with fast worldwide shipping and impeccable customer service. Visit us at windbluepower.com. Think green, go blue at Wind Blue Power.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass? Or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
It's the number one reason for slow and clogged bath drains. That's right, hair. And the number one way to open drains plugged with hair? The drain clog. Stop standing in dirty bath water. Stop using dangerous chemicals. Just push the drain clog past the pop-up in your sink or tub, twist, and pull. You'll be shocked at what this little tool can pull out of your drain. The drain clog has over 100 tiny hooks that claw through hair, toothpaste, and shampoo that slows and clogs your drains. See how it works right now at thedrainclaw.com. Wow. The Drain Claw is made in the USA and is the safest, easiest, most environmentally friendly solution to unclog bath drains. Get one for $6.99 or three for $15. The Drain Claw can be used over and over. Don't be fooled by substitutes. Buy the original. Buy the Drain Claw. Order now at thedrainclaw.com. That's the Drain Claw at thedrainclaw.com. Wow. Now you can purify the water and filter the air in your entire house for less. Keep listening for discount information from airandaqua.com. Airandaqua.com has everything from whole house air and water purification systems to air conditioners, shower filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, and much more to keep you and your family healthy. Now, airandaqua.com has developed two value-packed money-saving packages. Package 1, the Pure Whole Home Water Package. It includes three very important elements to purify the water in your whole house. Package 2, the Whole Home Air Package, with an ultraviolet light system that kills 99.9% of airborne bacteria and viruses. Get more details on both of these air and water filter packages at airandaqua.com or call 866-380-AQUA. That's 866-380-2782. GCN listeners, use promo code GCN for an 8% discount. Go to airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
By Somalia militants tied to Al-Qaeda, I think symbols something even bigger. This is yet another violent group to fear, maybe, since the weekend bomb attack that killed 74 people, including one American and injuring several others, other Americans, is the first time that this group claimed responsibility for an operation beyond the Somalia border. Very worrisome, my friends, if you're keeping score at home. Always great to catch up with terrorism expert Jeff Atticott here on America Tonight to get his take. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate.
Let's talk about the Somalia militants and how long they've been around and what you know about them.
Yeah, the movement's called Al-Shabaab, and they have been around for quite some time. They really kind of gave birth to themselves, I guess, if you will, in the 90s, early 90s. They officially linked up with Al-Qaeda about a year and a half ago with a formal declaration of affiliation. And Osama bin Laden has endorsed them as essentially his arm in Somalia and throughout other parts of Africa, actually. So this group is also heavily financed. You know, the Somali pirates have links to Al-Shabaab. And so they have a lot of money in their coffers. because the world community refuses to do anything about Somali pirates that ransom ships for millions of dollars in goods and cash. And so it's a steady flow of income. Their immediate goal is to overthrow the Muslim government that's now in place in Somalia. If you can call it a government, it's still kind of a very lawless, failed state. But they want to replace it with a Al-Qaeda Taliban-style radical Islamic regime. That's their ultimate goal. And as you know, Al-Shabaab has large support here in the United States. Of all places, one of their hotbeds is in Minnesota.
And why is that? I mean, how do the tentacles reach that far? Because supposedly there's like 7,000 armed guys, and they have what they call a main group of fighters somewhere in the 3,000 number. So why Al-Shabaab and the ties to Minnesota?
There's a very large Somali community, believe it or not, in Minnesota. And the FBI, about a year ago, indicated that around a dozen young U.S. citizens that their parents came from Somalia went missing, and they have U.S. passports. And we discovered that a large number of them showed up in Somalia. Some of them even were killed in suicide attacks. They went back to join the jihad. The fear is that these people, you know, can use their passports, and they might turn their terrorism on the United States and not just the jihad in Africa.
Yeah. You know, it's also, when you're talking about Minnesota and what happened there, I think it's very scary what's happening in general with American-born people who are, I'll call it, for lack of a better word, you could probably describe it better, becoming radicalized or part of the movement, or decide that they're going to try to chip in like the Jihad Janes and whatnot. I mean, how widespread do you think this is?
Well, it's not as widespread as it is in Europe, but it's growing. I mean, this phenomenon is driven by religion, and that's the hardest thing to try to pigeonhole, because a lot of people say, well, you know, the terrorists are caused by poverty and, you know, capitalism and all the other nonsense. No, it's a religious ideology, and it crosses all lines. We have rich individuals that have a lot of money, like this fellow underwear bomber, Ali Muttalib. You know, his father's a multimillionaire. And the 9/11 hijackers, of course, they weren't U.S. citizens, but we've got a large number of people here in this country. On my count, is over 315 have been prosecuted since 9/11. And these folks aren't Al-Qaeda mainline, but they're certainly infected with the virus of radical jihad. So it's a religious movement that through the Internet, through the mosque, is actually growing in strength.
Yeah, let me ask you about something else that we talked about the other day on America Tonight. This stuff with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others and what to do, where to try them for the 9/11 crimes, whether it's going to be New York, although it seems like New York is now out of the picture. You have the Attorney General Eric Holder saying, well, I'm not sure they can even get the death penalty now, even if it is a military commission. So that's why we went for the civilian court. Are you buying that? Is that true?
No. Holder is extremely disoriented / incompetent. He was the one that made the decision in November and said, you know, I've got 10 enemy combatants. I'm going to send 5 of them to the federal district court. And he did, you know, the most outrageous thing I've ever seen as an attorney. He got on TV in November and said, yeah, they're going to get the death penalty. I mean, you're supposed to be neutral and detached as the attorney general. You're not supposed to prejudge people. You're not supposed to make pronouncements that they're going to get the death penalty. And then, of course, the American people screamed so loudly that the administration realized that this was not very smart. And now we're, you know, 8 months later, they still don't know what to do with these people, still have not made a decision. And kind of underneath the radar screen, last week we had our first military commission under Obama that convicted an individual by the name of Cosey down in Guantanamo Bay. That didn't make really much headlines in the news. But Obama had stopped military commissions in January 2009. Then in June of 2009, he said, well, I might restart them because that's kind of a dumb thing to do. And then we now have our first conviction. He's going to be sentenced in about 2 months, but he's an Al-Qaeda member, has been convicted of material support to Al-Qaeda. And that's really the tool that you need to use, in my opinion, is military commissions. These are enemy combatants. That's the perfect tool. If Obama hadn't meddled with this military commission process, we would already have Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and dozens of these other people already convicted.
Yeah. The Gitmo situation, do you, because once again, if there is any movement anyway, Congress has to approve it, the funding for the whole thing. Do you think during the rest of this first run for Obama, his first administration, that there's no way Gitmo closes?
Well, I don't think he's going to have a second administration if he keeps going the way he is. And you know, Gitmo shouldn't be closed. I mean, the only reason we should close it is if we're apologizing for something. And the hypocrisy of this administration, they're not putting them in Gitmo, but they're stacking them and racking them in Bagram Air Force Base, and nobody seems to care. They don't demonize Bagram as they demonized Gitmo during the Bush years, and yet that's where we're storing a lot of al-Qaeda combatants. The Obama administration has refused them habeas if you're in Bagram before a federal judge, and it's clearly a double standard the way that they're dealing with some al-Qaeda here, some al-Qaeda there, some are going to federal court, some of them are getting Mirandized, some of them aren't. I mean, it's the most schizophrenic policy one could ever imagine.
I like the way he said it's schizophrenic. I agree with you, too, by the way, on Obama, the way he's going. I don't see a second term either. And Gitmo, absolutely, all the money that was spent to put up Gitmo, why was that can of worms even opened in the first place? And you hit it head on. What would we be apologizing for? It's absolutely, you know, ludicrous, ridiculous, what we've seen happen here in the last couple of years. And even to the terminology thing, that came up again, because now you have a switch with Petraeus from McChrystal after the debacle there from McChrystal and Rolling Stone magazine and his aides. Now that you have Petraeus back in Afghanistan, what do you think happens there, Jeff? How much longer do you think we continue in Afghanistan? What about Pakistan? What about going into Pakistan? I think that's the real hornet's nest.
Yeah, I mean, President Obama had two hand-picked generals that he put in charge of Afghanistan. The first one, as you recall, was McKiernan, and he was fired because he, leaked to the press. He didn't go to the press, but he leaked to the press. Essentially, he was unhappy with the president's handling or mishandling of what was happening in Afghanistan, so he was fired. McChrystal was fired because he went to the press, and he essentially said the same thing, that this administration is essentially operating in a very dysfunctional manner in Afghanistan. So now they went back to a Bush general, which is kind of interesting. Remember General Petraeus, that mm-hmm. the far left categorized him, the hero of Iraq, and now, of course, he's expected to achieve the impossible in Afghanistan. No one can solve the problem in Afghanistan under the Obama administration's philosophy of victory, which is nothing. They don't have, they can't define what victory is. All they tell us is that we're going to take and hold ground in Afghanistan and, crush the Taliban and then leave. No one really believes that the second that we leave that the Taliban won't come roaring back as they always have. You're not going to crush the Taliban. They make up half of the population, essentially, of Afghanistan. It's absurd. And we now have a gigantic footprint thanks to the president. We can't slip out the back door and say, well, we weren't driven out. We just kind of left. Now we've got 100,000 coalition troops in there by this summer. And so we've raised the ante. And the narrative, as you know, is going to be when we start to leave, we drove you out. And if that's the narrative and the world adopts that narrative, the bad guys, their ranks will swell by 100,000, by 200,000, because they're going to say we drove the Soviets out and we drove you out. And we can't allow that. There is no substitute for military victory. And yet there's no definition of victory. We're simply, you know, feeding troops in as we did in Vietnam. It's almost a parallel with the disastrous policies in Vietnam all over again.
Yeah, no end game. Hey, we don't have much time left, but we catch up with you when you're all over the place giving talks and whatnot. And, of course, you're at St. Mary's in San Antonio. But you speak to the FBI. You're at the FBI Academy a couple times a year. What are you doing there?
Well, I'm invited back from time to time to address some of the senior leadership courses there at the FBI Academy in Quantico. I try to take some of my law students with me when I go out there to expose them to, you know, what our country is doing. And we discuss terrorism issues and from A to Z, how do you deal with them? How do you handle them? Profiling issues, wiretapping issues, what you can and can't do. So it's a great opportunity to go out and discuss with people that are on the front lines that are fighting these people day in and day out, and to add my humble opinions, if you will, about the best ways to do that in a legal manner.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for those students, too, I bet.
Yeah, they do. In fact, some of them get to join up as FBI agents. Later on, they decide they like it so much they want to be an agent.
Yeah, there you go. It's a great field trip. All right, Jeff, always a pleasure to catch up with you. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, of course, here on ATN.
So you think the massive Gulf oil leak won't affect the air you breathe?
Think again.
Benzene, a toxic gas emitted from crude oil and a known carcinogen, is now airborne, traveling hundreds, even thousands of miles inland. Whether you live near the Gulf or not, benzene and other volatile organic compounds could cause adverse reactions to those living inside your home. NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, came to airfiltersandpurifiers.com for answers on how to clean the air on boats aiding in the Gulf cleanup. Do what NOAA did. Contact airfiltersandpurifiers.com and ask about the HealthMate Plus. The HealthMate Plus is capable of trapping 99.97% of all polluting particulates. Buy the HealthMate Plus today with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners get a 5% discount by using promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
About Al-Shabaab, which has to do with Somalia and how dangerous that group has become. Let's move to this thing that's been brewing in New York for a while, and it's a mosque being built near Ground Zero. At first, there wasn't a lot of attention on this, and the story started to eke out, and it got more legs, and then more people who were incensed by this started to express themselves. Well, this is what's happened. Dozens of opponents and then some supporters, too, showed up for what I heard was an incredibly jam-packed meeting to talk about this. And the part of the problem is all of the nonsense that's gone on at the site where the two towers went down in New York near the financial district, as all of you know certainly by now. What they're talking about and what they talked about on Tuesday is whether the building where the Muslim piece of property would be, or place of worship, would be created regardless of how close it is to this so-called city landmark that's going to go up. Republican gubernatorial candidate Rick Lazio is trying to head up an investigation into the funding of the mosque, because where the, you know, this is, they're talking about building an incredible facility. So he wants, you know, that old adage about follow the money. Let's just check this out. He was among a group of witnesses who testified in support of doing the landmark status, which would complicate the plans by the Muslim groups to develop any kind of a community center or mosque there, because it would have a landmark status. They wouldn't be able to do that, really, if you look at the definition of it, if any of you know anything about building. So now, because of what happened on September 11th, you know, the debris and all the things that happened at the World Trade Center, clearly, it is a place of historic significance. We certainly know that. If you go to New York and you go to Lower Manhattan, you're anywhere near there, you just see a lot of people going to see. Either they want to see because they're so heartbroken, they want to see because they're curious, they're from another country, they're from someplace else in our country, whatever. I've been down there probably 25 times since 9/11, and it's never without tourists, without people looking at it or taking pictures or whatever, or crying or not crying, or buying a souvenir around the corner, which I think is so ticky-tacky. But, of course, everybody will take advantage no matter what, no matter what's happened where. If it's got any kind of a sellability factor, there's always someone that's going to sell pictures or other mementos of things that are even horrific. And it has become a place of significance of what happened on really the city's darkest day and one of our country's darkest days. So they're talking about investigating the funds, and they're repeating the request over and over again to find out what's behind, you know, who's behind the money. And some people are saying, listen, this has become now a huge issue of bigotry, and the people building this mosque have nothing to do with the Cordova initiative, with what's happened on 9/11, and the money is clean money and all that other sort of stuff. And this initiative is supposed to promote cross-cultural understanding between Islam and the West. So here's the thing. On the surface, it looks good, but it looks good from that point of view of what the Cordova initiative is, but we see this all the time. What looks good and then what's really underneath are two different things. I don't understand why an investigation into the background would be so awful, because if there's nothing to hide anyway, who cares? And here's why the mosque was such a bad idea, or the Cordova initiative was such a bad idea in the first place, because you could put it anywhere else in the city, even in that same district. But to put it on the site of the World Trade Center, where thousands of people lost their lives, where they were cowardly cut down, in some cases in the prime of their life, in an attack by extremists, by Islamist extremists, it's just wrong. What kind of message does this send? I don't understand why they think it's such a great idea to build it there. Yes, you can build the bridge to better relations and less bigotry, and okay, I'm a Muslim and I'm not like that. I have nothing to do with it, and how dare you compare me to the thugs from Saudi Arabia who did what they did. I get all that, but why there? Why there? It should just be a memorial. And this is the problem. The idiots who didn't agree and get the memorial thing going are partially to blame for this. Of course, they don't want to take any of the blame, but because they delayed over and over again building plans, approving building plans and everything else, they left themselves open for something else to be built, for somebody else to come along. It is still primo property if you just looked at it from that point of view. And I think it's a big mistake by the initiative. It invites unwanted bigotry. It invites the tearing apart of hard feelings by so many people as to what happened. And anything going up in that vicinity, no matter what it was, other than a memorial, I would be opposed to be honest, since I was somebody who was there and saw. So what happens now? Is people that oppose the mosque are getting called names? Are they going to get sued? You know, what happens? It's just such a bunch of nonsense. It should never have gotten this far. It should never have become such a struggle to build something there in the first place. I mean, I say it all the time. Bring us your tired, your poor, your yearning to be free. But let's make some sense of this thing. You don't have to put a mosque right in the heart of where so many people feel is almost sacred ground, because it's a burial site. They didn't pick every piece of every tooth of every body of everything they could piece together. There are remnants of people, if you want to just be descriptive about it, that are there. So a mosque at the site of the WTC, where thousands of people were murdered, makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. Because some mosques, and not all to be sure, and it's not right to condemn all, but some have proven to be used for sympathizers to Al-Qaeda. We've seen that already. We were just talking about that with Jeff Atticott and how scary it is that that's what's happened in the United States. And as he said, certainly nowhere near what's going on in Europe, but it has happened here. And you think of, in my mind, I think of the funeral processions, and I think of all those widows and all those people who had their hearts punctured when the maniacs decided to cowardly fly into the buildings and end some generations of families. So it's quite clear that you're not being a bigot by saying that, but that site and the wounds are still way, way too fresh, too raw to the American people, and certainly the people in New York City. To put the mosque there is just plain downright offensive. So I don't blame people for packing a hearing on the mosque near Ground Zero. There are other places it could be put. If the real intent is, hey, let's heal up these wounds, and let me show you what our religion is about, let me show you what you might not be getting. Okay, bravo, I get that. But boy, the choice of venue is pathetically poor.